want to bring another message on Christ and the covenant. And Christ is given to us. Christ given to us. You know, when I read this chapter down through verse 16, when it's talking here, it's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And how God would uphold him and how he would cast himself upon God. God would be his strength. God would be his God, and his judgment was with the Lord, and his work was with God. And God said that I'll be glorified in him. And it says there in verse 8, thus saith the Lord in an acceptable time. Now this is Christ talking to God, talking to Christ now. Have I heard thee? And in the day of salvation, I have helped thee. The day of salvation was the day Christ came to the day he died and rose again from the dead. Not just one day. You know, this is the day of the Lord. This is the Lord's day, and this is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. And that when it talks about that day, you know, this is the Lord's day that he hath made. We'll be glad and rejoice. And that's not today he's talking about. He's talking about the day that Christ came. And his day started when he was born until he ascended back to glory. He accomplished salvation. And so he said, in the day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee. And watch this now. And give thee for a covenant of the people. I give you for a covenant. He gives Christ to us as a covenant. As a covenant. And watch this. To establish the earth. Now that's established us like we sung in that hymn. You know, there's not a sparrow that goes without God. Not a monarch raised to his throne. Not one comes down without it pleases him. This earth is established. And we got confidence in that. Looks like all hell's, as old Barnard said, all hell's popping all around us. But man, I'm not, this earth's established. Amen. Everything in it's established. There ain't nothing happened what's supposed to happen. Ain't nobody going to do anything they're supposed to do it.
All right.
Ain't nobody supposed to be in charge, but who's going to be in charge? But we know who's in charge of the ones that's in charge. And I'm grateful for that, ain't you? And calls to inherit the desolate heritages. Oh, my. And here's why he does it, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go, get out of there, come out, go forth. To them that are in darkness, come show yourselves. You got to come to the light. And they shall feed in the ways, and their pastors shall be in high places. Look down there in verse 6. I want you to see verse 6 just a moment. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. He said, this is just a little thing for me to do. It's no effort on my part. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. Now watch this. That thou mayest be my salvation. What did Simeon say? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. God says, you'll be my salvation. For how far? To the end of the earth. All right. Beloved, let me try to say something about Christ is ours. He given to us in the covenant. In a covenant. Our salvation and all the salvation of God's people for all time was sure and is sure because of Christ given to us in this covenant. It's sure. There's no doubt about it. Everybody that has ever got, you know, David says, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things. And sure, God said, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And you know why we believe that? Because he said here, I'll give thee for a covenant. Our salvation is as sure as Christ is.
Amen.
God said, I'll give thee. I'll give thee. And you know there's several covenants, and I mentioned this last week, but let me mention it again. The second covenant, this covenant of grace, this covenant that God had given Christ is so much more glorious than the first. Hebrews 10 says this, that God takes away the first. Christ came to take away the first, that he may establish the second. The first covenant was like this, and why well, it's a better covenant and a more glorious covenant and more better than and more established than the first is because it's a better covenant established upon better promises. The other, you know, what the other one, the promise was that if you'll do, you shall live. If you don't, you shall die. But this is established on the promises that I will perform all your salvation. That I'll give Christ as a covenant. You see, the covenant is better than the covenant of works made with Adam. It's better than the covenant made with Israel as they came out of Egypt. And it's better because it's found upon a better principle. You see, the old covenant was found upon a principle of merit. And that merit, and that this merit is that you know you serve God and you'll get a reward. If you do good, God will do good to you. You act right and God will act right towards you. You do the works right and God will have to reward you. And if you don't, then you're going to get punished, you know. He's going to kill your child. He's going to burn down your house. He's going to do something like that. That's the way they say it. If you don't serve God and then quit your sinning, then God's going to get it. That's the principle of merit. Principle of punishment and reward. I don't want that. Listen, I had all that God I want. I don't want Him no more. No, no. This covenant is found on pure grace. God said, I'll give you. And you'll establish the earth. You'll be my salvation. Isn't that what He said? And you'll say to the prisoners, go forth. And don't say anything about you get up and go do. This covenant is founded on pure, free, sovereign grace. No works or merit is called on in this covenant at all. Nothing in this covenant that Christ has given to us is done by us. Nothing is done by us. The human side of this covenant has already been fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God requires perfection. Christ gave perfection. Christ, God demanded obedience, perfect from the cradle to the grave. Christ rendered perfection in obedience. You see, beloved, it's a covenant that God gives, not a covenant that requires. The covenant of the law required you to do something. This covenant of grace required God to do something.
Amen, brother.
And this is what's so wonderful about this salvation that we preach, this gospel we preach. What God requires, He provides. I love that, don't you? He requires perfection. He gave me perfection. He requires righteousness. Gives us righteousness. And all, beloved, if it's in this, it's more glorious, this covenant that God gave us, Christ to us in, is more glorious because of the stability of it. It's stable. If fallen man had anything to do with it, how stable would it be? How many people have you known that's made a profession and quit? How many preachers you know have backslid? How many people you know... Oh my, if man had anything to do with it, it's unstable as water. You know how many different shapes water can take? Whatever you put it in, that's the shape it takes. It can be hot, it can be cold, it can be frozen, it can be slushy. It can be a thousand, it'll be a dozen, but whatever, and that's the way man is. You, whatever container you put him in, that's the form you take. But whatever religion you preach to him, that you pour him in that, that's what he's going to take. So we, beloved, that's what I'm saying. This, God said, I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. And all this covenant that God gave Christ to us in, it's glorious because Christ is the mediator of this blessed covenant. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you right here. God can never, ever, as we were and as a man is, ever approach God. God dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. Now God does not need a mediator. You and I need a mediator. Everybody knows what a mediator is. If you've ever been in any, ever went through a divorce or ever went through a union contract, you have mediators. You got these two opposing sides. Somebody tries got to bring them together. Well, there's God. He's holy and we're not. There's God. He's righteous and we're not. How in the world are we going to come to Him? We can't. We got to have a mediator. We got to have somebody that mediates between us and God a days, man. One that can bring us together. And Christ in the covenant is the only one that can bring us together. He can bring a holy God and a sinful man together and make them one. Make them in that clear agreement. Make them holy. Make them righteous. I mean, I'm in agreement with God now, ain't you? I say He's right in everything. I don't have no demands from God. He done gave me everything that I needed. Oh my. And we bless His glorious name because He came into this sinful world to tell sinful men of grace promised in the eternal will and covenant of God. And oh beloved, this is something we cannot never say enough about. As He is also the surety of this covenant. With surety. The surety of a covenant. He gives us as a surety. A surety, and I've said this so many times, is not somebody that just co-signs for you, signs a note for you, and guarantees that if you can't make up, he'll make up the difference. That's not what he's talking about. Our government right now is trying to make up the difference in all the messes that other people have got it into. But like we get in an awful mess, but Christ don't make up the difference. He makes up it all.
Amen, brother.
We was born with a debt, born in sin, shaping in iniquity, born a sinner. We was born in debt, and from the day we left it, come into this world, we just piled up debt, 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 and more debt. Them two little twins, as sweet as they are this morning, they got mad and started crying. You know why? Because they took something away from them. Bill felt one of them's head, said, I feel some little horns right there. And that's right.
Oh, not so.
You say, well, they don't know no better. Grown men don't know no better.
Yes,
they got to do what's in their nature to do if God don't change their nature.
Amen.
And you owe that debt. And the surety's got to pay that debt. And he pays it all of it, right down to the least farthing. And not only does he do that, but he guarantees for all time and eternity that you'll be accepted of God without spot and without blemish before him in love.
Amen.
Huh? That's what a surety does. Huh? Now God fills our heads, he don't fill no horns. And oh, this is what we rejoice in, the sum and substance of the covenant. Is Christ Himself. He is all and our in all. All our spiritual blessings are in Him. And to sum up all of our spiritual blessings, to sum up this blessed covenant, is found in two words. Jesus Christ. Huh? Yes. And it says here, I've given thee for a covenant. Now Christ is given to us in this covenant of grace. Given to us by God. What a gift that God gave us. And every believer has a personal interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Solomon said, my beloved is mine, and I'm his. You say, he's mine. Every believer in here can today and say, he is mine and mine alone.
Yes, sir.
And every believer can honestly say, he's mine and mine alone. How can one person be yours and yours alone? And be that to so many a multitude that no man can number. But that's what he is to us in this covenant of grace. Huh? And oh, what a possession we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, beloved, what God's telling us here is that the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to us in covenant. And when he's given to us in this covenant of grace, everything that he is given to us. All that he is given to us. Now what is he? Who is he? Well, he's God and he's man. And as God and man, he's given to us. You see, there's two natures in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the very first, you know, he's always been God. He was God when he was in his mother's womb.
Amen.
He was God when he come forth from his mother's belly. He was God when he was held in his mother's arms. He was God when he was being taught how to walk. He was God when he was learning how to talk. He was God when he was going to school. He was God when he was working in the carpenter shop. He was God when he walked on the water. He was God. He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. But he was God in all of his attributes. As God is ours. His love that's infinite, it's ours. His grace that's as vast as the universe is ours. His faithfulness as established as the earth is ours. His omniscience is all of his wisdom is ours. His omnipotence, all of his power is ours. His omnipresence is ours. Nowhere we can go where he won't be. All of his, the power to keep us. The power to defeat all of our enemies. Everything that he is as God is ours. Given to us in this covenant of grace. The one who created the world and upholds it by his power. God give him to us. And then as man. Perfect man. When he became a man. He became. He didn't cease to be God. But he became something he never had been before. And now he'll never cease to be. Just as he was always God, never ceased to be God. Once he became a man, he'll never cease to be a man. It's the man Christ Jesus in glory. You see, all that he is. Now, he's a perfect man. And the only way you and I can know anything about perfection is as we know it in Christ. All that he has as a perfect man, and all that he is as a perfect man, God give him to us. You see, his perfection wasn't just for himself. Though he is perfect. God has to have a perfect. God made Adam upright. But what did he do? He sought out many inventions. God made Christ of a woman. And what did he do? He only lived holy and righteous and obedient before God. As a perfect man, he stood before his Father, full of grace and full of truth. Accepted of God as a perfect man. Peter stood and preached it this way, a man approved of God, as you yourselves know. He's accepted of the Father. We're accepted in the Beloved. He is righteous. By one man's disobedience, we became sinners. By one man's obedience, we became righteous. He is righteous. We're righteous. God made him to be sin that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Christ. It's more than, it's an imputed righteousness. It's the only righteousness we have before God Almighty. But it also has something to do when you have Christ, you have Him and all that He is. Righteous in His nature, righteous in His character, righteous in His deeds, righteous in His doing, righteous in His death, righteous in His resurrection. Everything about Him is righteous. And that's ours. His obedience is ours. God cannot charge me with any disobedience at all, though I disobey. How I groan over my sin. How I groan over my uncleanness. How I groan over the wickedness of my own mind. And yet, beloved, God Almighty can do nothing but bless me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet because Christ is blessed from the top of His head to the sole of His feet. And I'm in Him. All he is God. All he is man. It's ours. He is ours. How? By pure, free grace. And guess what? Never be taken back. And oh my, he's given to us in all of his offices. All of his offices. You know, most people know about Jesus is that he loves everybody and he died for everybody. And he loves me and he's going to save me. You know. But what about his person as God and man? What about his offices as prophet, priest, and king, redeemer, mediator, advocate, surety, redeemer? What about all the things that he did because of who he is that makes what he did acceptable? Makes us acceptable. You know, he's God's prophet who came to tell us the will of God, the purpose of God, the power of God. He is our priest to offer sacrifice to God. He is our king to fight all of our battles. and keep us sure and secure in the inside the walls of the castle. And He's our Redeemer. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He's our advocate. We got a lawyer before God Almighty who takes up our case and calls. He's our forerunner in into heaven for us. And say, there's one coming after him. And he sealed the covenant with his own blood. Ain't that what it says? In every name he bears and every crown he wears, he is ours. Look what he says there in verse 15. This is what I'm talking about. Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, she can. Yes, she has, and yes, she will. Yeah, they may. That's what I wrote that, but we forget so many things. Yeah, they may, but I won't. We forget, but he always remembers. You know why? I'm craving you. I'm craving you. See them holes in my hand? I'm craving you in the palms of my hands. And your walls. And them walls that he talks about, the walls that he established around us. Like he put that hedge around Job. He said, the devil said, take that hedge down and I'll destroy him. God said, your walls, all the walls that I build around you, they're continued before me. Huh? And oh, beloved, look at him in his offices as priest. Oh my, is that high priest in the Old Testament, in the covenant of works, in the covenant of law, is that high priest stood there in all of his glorious garments? He had on the names of the children of Israel on his breastplate. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, see, our great high priest, our names are written on his breast, our names are written on his heart. And as he went in there to intercede for Israel, our Lord Jesus Christ is interceding before us and he'll be heard. He is ours, and bless his glorious name. See now on the earth, see that priest offering not the blood of somebody else, not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. Huh? See him offering his own blood. See him being the sacrifice, not offering one, but he himself being that sacrifice.
Amen.
See, nailed as a bloody sacrifice, nails, hands and feet to the tree. See our king, crowned with thorns, not a golden crown. That sacrifice of all sacrifices, it's ours, given to us. That blood that he shed pleads for us with God. His pierced side is a refuge for us to get inside. His groans were our groans. His cries were our cries. His peace that he established is ours. See? Oh, he's given to us. And all his works, everything he did, given to us, and they're ours. Whether it's works of duty between God and man, is ours. His works of suffering, they're ours. We'll never have to suffer. God made him suffer for us. His circumcised, we're circumcised in him. He is buried, we're buried with him. He dies, we died with him. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. But he lives, I live too. He is raised, we're raised up together with him. He ascends, we arose with him. He sits down on his throne, we seated with him together in heavenly places. Huh? He said, I give him to you. So we can say, he's mine. He's ours. And by God's decree, by God's glorious decree, and that's what that hymn was this morning, God's glorious decree. God's decree, and we don't say decrees because God's decree is one. Everything's done by one. By God's decree, there's such a union between Christ and His people. So joined together in this covenant that all that He did, so did we. My body cannot do anything without my head, and my head can't do anything without my body. And Christ is the head, we're the body.
Amen.
He said, they that are sanctified, and he re-sanctifies. What did he say about it? They're one. Huh? They're one. They're one. Eddie come down and built me a fence this last winter, this last spring. The first bunch of posts we set, I got down at the end of the corner, and there's a whole bunch of them down there. And I got behind one, and that's all I could see is one post. You know, there's a whole bunch of them, but I don't see one. Because there's that straight. You look there and you couldn't see the rest of them. Just see the rest straight down through them. And that's the way it is in Christ. There's just one. And I mean it's straight. You know, and I'll see one. God's looking. He sees one. Where does he see that in Christ? You know, there's a whole bunch of us, but when we're God sees us as one.
Absolutely.
There's no wavering out here, no wavering out yonder, and they're all crooked and all this way and that way. God looks at us and they're just, we're all lined up behind one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God sees one. Oh, he's the vine, we're the branches. And let me tell you this, just like my son was in my loins, I was in my father's loins. My father was in his father's loins. His father was in his father's loins. We were in Christ's loins.
Amen.
He said, he shall see his seed and be satisfied. In his humiliation or in his exaltation, all believers have Christ. He is theirs in this covenant of grace. And everything he is ours. Everything he did is ours. Everything he accomplished is ours. Ours. He's accepted, we're accepted. He's righteous, we're righteous. God loves him, God loves us for Christ's sake. What did Greg Elmquist say? We often think that God just puts up with us for Christ's sake, just endures us for Christ's sake. And I honestly feel that sometimes. I really do. I say, God, how can you put up with me? I ask him that often. How do you put up with me? How do you endure me? How do you stand me? But you know what he said? Remember what he said? He said, he said he loves you and rejoices over you and has always loved you and never ceased loving you. And he don't just put up with you for Christ's sake. He rejoices over you.
Amen.
that's not the way it is. And you see, beloved, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of it. All that God is dwelt in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you could comprehend how full God is. Heard somebody talking the other day about, you know, all that's in the universe. And I said, well, you know, in the universe, God's not in the universe. The universe is in God. Yeah. And all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him. And you know what the scripture says? We are complete in him, in whom all fullness dwells. Oh my, of his fullness have we received, grace for grace. All his fullness, all of his fullness. How full is Christ? How full is he of grace? How full is he of love? How full is he of righteousness? How full is he of obedience? How full is he of power? How full is he? Well, however how full he is of everything that he is, that's ours. It's ours. And multitudes after, since Adam until the last saint on this earth, they've been taken out of Christ. We've been receiving from Christ of his fullness, and they have been for all time and eternity, and he's as full today as he was from the first one who ever took anything out of it.
Amen.
And the very life of Christ himself is ours. Ain't that right? Look over here with me in Colossians just a minute. You know, the very life of Christ is ours. The very life of Christ. What I mean by that, I mean what he lives. Because he lives. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live also. He hath abolished death and brought immortality and light to life through the gospel. When we're talking about eternal life, when we're talking about life, we have the very life of Christ in us. How do you think we understand the Scriptures? How do you think we commune with God? How do you think we rejoice over grace? How do you think we rejoice over righteousness? How do you think we rejoice over another's obedience? It's because Christ in us. That's how we commune with God. That's how we have fellowship with God. That's how we understand the Scripture. The very life of Christ is in us, and that life is ours. Look here in Colossians 3 and verse 3. For you are dead. Dead to sin. Dead to the world. Where did we die at? We died with Christ. Dead to the flesh. Dead to false religion. Dead to any hope we have in ourselves. For you are dead and your life is hid where at? With Christ in God. That's why the world don't understand. That's why the world can't see us. Huh? Now what? Watch this. When Christ, our life,
yes, sir,
shall appear. Didn't say Christ, we hope He's our life. We think He's our life. If I obey Him right, He'll be my life. If I live right, He'll be my life when He appears. If I make the right decisions in my life, He'll be my life when He appears. When Christ, our life, shall appear, guess what? You're going to appear right with Him. Where at? In glory itself. The very life of Christ is ours. And best of all, not only is His life ours, His person ours, His works, His obedience and acceptance and righteousness, everything He is, His God and man, is ours. His works are ours. His offices, all that He did in His offices, ours. He's ours. He's given to us. And best of all, the person, now listen to me, the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is ours. You know, we don't know Him abstractly. I know of a lot of people that I don't know. What I mean is that there's people that I know of that I really don't know. There's one fellow that I'm wanting to meet real bad, and I'm making arrangements to meet him, but I know him to some degree through some conversations with him. And there's lots of people, that's all they know about Christ, just some things about Him. But we know Him personally. His very person itself is ours. Just like your wife is yours, personally. Not another person's wife, yours. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ is ours. Now, what do I mean by that? We talked about all the gifts we receive. Righteousness, justification, forgiveness, grace, mercy, obedience, sacrifice, sinlessness, perfection, completeness. We don't just receive the gifts, but we give Him who does the giving. It's one thing to have the gifts, but to have the one who does the giving is an old other thing. Oh, no wonder David said, or Solomon said, and you can look this up yourself in Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 3. I am my beloved's. I am my beloved's. That's what he says to us. You're my beloved, and I'm yours. I am my beloved's. Beloved of God, called of His saints. Loved with an everlasting love. And then she turned around and says, and I'm His, I'm His. I'm His, I'm His. Oh, that's what we say. Amen. Oh, my. We love Him and thank Him for what He gives us. We bless Him for that. But we really, really love Him because of who He is. That's what He gives us makes us so. That's what makes what He gives us so precious, because of who He is. And that's what He says there in verse 8 again, back over in our text. I'll preserve thee and give thee for a covenant for the people. I'll give you. Let me ask you some questions now in closing. Why did God give Christ? in the covenant to us. Why did He do that? Well, to comfort every coming sinner. He said, I'll give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. To every coming sinner, come to Christ. Are you coming to Christ? Let me ask you, in your heart of hearts, in your very soul, are you coming to Christ? Coming. I know this is, if you ever come, you're always coming. You're continually coming. And that's why He gave Christ in the covenant, to comfort every coming sinner. Our Lord Jesus says, no man knows the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. So therefore, He says, come unto me. You want to be accepted of the Father? You want to know the Father? Come to me. And what did He say? I'll give you rest. Not only will I give you rest, but guess what? You'll find some rest. I'll give it to you and you'll find it. And all, beloved, all the rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. All the blessings of the covenant are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't hear another thing I've said today, you hear what I'm telling you right now. All the blessings of the covenant are in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in His finished work. Multitudes are going to go to hell who are trusting in the finished work. And never, ever trust Him who finished the work. The work is absolutely useless unless you trust Him who done it. Now, ain't that right? I hear people say, I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ. Well, I'm trusting in Christ who finished the work. Big, big difference. Did you get that? You understand that? Oh, He finished the work. He cried out, it is finished.
Amen.
But it's who said it was finished. It's who accomplished the work that makes the word effectual. Huh? Oh, and that's what He says there in verse 9. That you may go and say to the prisoners, go forth. Oh, that's why He said it. He finished the work. It's who finished the work that could say to the prisoner, go forth, you in darkness, come out here. Come out here. Stand in front of me. And all. And He gave Christ in the covenant to give assurance to the doubting saint. Give assurance to the doubting saint. And oh my, I know sometimes people doubt. You see, there's no reason to doubt because we can't have any more than Christ. What more can you have than Christ? Oh, I'm a sinner, preacher. I know that. You don't have to tell me that. But Christ said, I come to save sinners of whom I'm chief. He said, I'm come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I am the great physician, and I heal them that are sick. Oh, my. Christ is all, beloved. Christ is all. Christ is all. And another reason He gave Christ in the covenant, not only to comfort His people, to comfort the coming sinners, the doubting saint, but He's given to us in the covenant that we might use Him, that we might trust Him, that we might come to Him when He's in trouble. You know, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ is there for. We tell people all the time, if you need me, call on me. If you want me, all you got to do is ask. You need any help doing that? Well, that's why God gave Christ in the covenant. So we go to Him when we... You're in trouble? Go to Christ. You're weak? Go to Christ. You need somebody to talk to? Call on Christ. You say, I've sinned. Come to Him. You say, oh, I feel so naked. Come to Him. I'm unclean. Come to Him. Sick? He's the great physician. Burdened? Cast all your cares on Him. He done everything for you. Labored long and hard to give you rest. So come to Him, because He sure loves to take care of His own. He loves to do it. And that's why God put Christ in the covenant and gave Him to us. Because we need Him. We need Him. We need Him. And since Christ is ours, let's be His. Since Christ is ours, Let's just be His. Huh? Let's do like Paul said it, you know, Christ is God. And everything, Christ's life and death is in Him, and we are His. We are His. And may we let the world know that who we belong to. It's like that woman, you know, and Russians came into a German town and started trying to take a German town. This old woman come out with her crutches. And they asked her, "What in the world are you coming out here with your crutches? You can't do anything." She said, "I can let them know whose side I'm on." You know, we come out with our crutches. I can tell you whose side I'm on. And that's the way it is with Christ. We can say whose side we're on. That we've been bought with His blood. May He be our glory and our only glory. May He be our chief living for reason, the chief reason for living in this world. To Him that loved us so. When tempted, remember we're His. When tired of your labor, and don't we all get that? When tired of your labor, remember your Christ. When something needs to be done in the church, I'm one of His. I'll do that. And I ask you, sinner, will you come to Him? Will you come to Him? And if you do, you'll find that He's yours. You'll say, "That's my beloved." And you'll say, "I'm His. I'm His. I'm His." Our Father, in the precious, holy, glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for the privilege of gathering here today with the blessed saints of God. Thank You for the gospel. Bless the word to our hearts, our understanding. Comfort us with it. Strengthen us with it. Instruct us with it. Teach us with it. Strengthen us with it. Feed us with it. Clothe us with it. Cover our heads with it. Shield us with it. Oh, may this gospel, may this our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, oh, may He be our all and in all. May we rejoice in Him, find great comfort in Him. And God bless those who are coming. And we know, dear Lord, that if they're coming, they'll continue to come. God enable those who have come to You to confess that they've come to You, that they are coming to You, and own You in this world. Own You in this world. We ask You in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.